City Council Work Session, February 25th, 2020.
We have a quorum. We're ready to start. So, the City Council Work Session for Tuesday, February 25th will now come to order. And if anyone would like to make public comments, this is your time to do it. Come forward, you can move a chair over there, and you have 3 minutes. This is the only time for public comment.
Thank you. I'll stand, I won't take 3 minutes. Good evening. For the record, my name is Linda Creed. I had seen an earlier work session agenda and understood there was going to be an update about the Broad Park Improvement Project, and I'm very interested in that. And I'm very interested in it because I am really excited about the idea of having a non-inclement weather walking track. And so I wanted to come in and urge you to go ahead and approve the contract with ECI Hire and make sure that the project includes a walking track. I don't care if it's heated, just I can't walk safely in the weather we've had for the last 3 or 4 months, and I'd like a place where I could walk, and I know a large number of other people that would as well. It's a great, healthy activity. So thank you very much. And I'll try and make it Thursday.
Thank you. Anyone else wanting to speak?
Where's the clock?
Clark has the clock.
It's ticking.
Okay. Yeah, just hear the ding.
It's ticking. Well, thank you, Mayor Branson, City Council members. You have to forgive me. I have to write my stuff down here or I'll get completely lost and talking. For the record, my name is Jason Bunch. Last month I came to you guys as a citizen of Kodiak, but today I'll be representing the Kodiak Hockey League. And as a wingman here, I have Mr. Ogg, who is representing the Friends of Baranoff fundraising group in partnership with Kodiak Hockey League. We understand today's fiscal climate is challenging, as there are many projects that require your attention. Your job is quite difficult, and we cannot thank you enough for the support you've provided to the Baranoff Park Improvement Project. So tonight I come to you with an update from the KHL with 3 important requests to ensure this project's momentum continues. The initial concept work to establish needs and scope to include enclosure, expansion, and the walking track is complete. Next, you'll have before you a professional services agreement request to begin the design process to 35%. It's our sincere hope and our first request to you that you will support this agreement as the design will play a major role in our fundraising. So speaking of fundraising, we have partnered with Friends of Baranoff fundraising group. This group is highly motivated with a much needed experience to assist in raising funds. They've already been trained by Lori Wolf of the Foraker Group and are actively working on a funding plan. Mr. Ogg is currently the chairperson for that group, and I am a late arrival, and I look forward to working with them. As you know, the KHL is a 501c3 nonprofit organization which can act as a pass-through entity for fundraising efforts. So our second request, we would like to recommend an MOU between the KHL and the city to enhance fundraising possibilities. And I imagine we can flesh those out down the road. The concept of the fundraising plan is to reach out to large donors first. Many of these donors require assurance that the project is supported and progressing. Oftentimes, donors are looking to have their funds matched, which is good for us. To these points, and our third request, we're asking for your authorization of $250,000 to the Baranoff Park Improvement Fund to show investors its support and at the same time point out this money as a match. By building a partnership with the city, starting the design process, completing a fundraising plan, and establishing a basis for matching funds, we can use these as a declaration of progress to entities looking to donate to such a worthwhile project. I'm excited for the outcome as we continue to gain support from the citizens of Kodiak and appreciate your time on this subject tonight.
Okay, thank you, Jason. Did the wingman have anything to say?
Well, my name is Dan Ogg. I'm the chair of the Friends of Baranoff Park. This is a committee that's just basically going to work on fundraising. We had training with the 4 acres group. He's also said it all, so I don't see any need to repeat that unless you wish me to. I think we're getting off to a good start, and the work that the city has done, and recommending on your capital improvement list to the state and also the federal government to a big step forward. I think we're on track with doing well. So I'm just here for any questions.
Okay, well, we've got your requests, and I know that our deputy city manager has recorded those, so thank you for your efforts, and we'll keep in touch.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jason and Dan.
One last thing, if I could share with you guys. Did you guys know that the Kodiak Hockey League is sending two players this year to the Arctic Winter Games? Oh. They'll be playing in Whitehorse, Canada, and it's the first players from Kodiak in the sport of hockey to represent Team Alaska.
Wow.
So pretty exciting. 17 players, and two of them are from Kodiak.
What age level?
It's an 18U, so both the kids that we're sending are 16-year-olds.
Wow.
And
great.
They came down and watched them play down here, and they felt confident that they were to the level required to be competitive at the Arctic Winter Games. So thank you for your support.
Right, thank you both for coming tonight. And we will be in touch with you. We won't let this linger. Okay, any other public comments tonight? Yeah, go ahead.
For the record, my name is Marion Hoyle.
I didn't recognize you.
I know. I'm here to speak on behalf of the indoor or overcovered inclement weather walking track. Linda told me about it last week, and I was very excited to hear about that because I think it's a great thing that would be, I know so many people who would benefit from it and continue walking all year round without having to worry about falling down and breaking any bones or anything like that. So I just wanted to let you know that yes, I'm 100% behind it. I think it's a great thing, and I do hope it does come to fruition.
Thank you, Marion. Okay, anybody else wanting to make public comment tonight? All right, if not, we'll go to our first item, which is the future firehouse selection site update. We were scheduled for a meeting at noon today, but Josie can update us on that.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. Good evening, council members. Back in November 2019, council asked the city manager and clerk to put together a steering committee, solicit proposals to serve on the committee to for site selection of the site. We met last month, and as you mentioned, Mayor, that we had to reschedule today's meeting, and that is being rescheduled for March 25th. At the same time, council asked us to evaluate the sites, review call maps and response times from proposed sites for fire and ambulances, and that has been completed. So far, we have three sites, and each with some challenges, but one very strong contender that would require buy-in from the borough. So we were hoping maybe at the March meeting to potentially have a joint work session to talk through what those benefits could be. And
we did, just on that joint work session note, I did speak with Bill Roberts about that, and we're not going to have a joint work session.
Okay.
So we can do it in another venue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else? Yeah, go ahead, Josie. I'm sorry.
Well, no, it's okay. I think one of the sites rose to the top. It's an excellent location, excellent response times. But like I said, each of the three sites has challenges. The old library site, or the existing site station, would need to be hardened to resist tsunami. And that's something that the committee looked at last month, looking at information from the 64 earthquake and tsunami and a lot of other information, building codes and such for that. So that site also comes with several compromises, which would be the width and length of bays. Those would need to be reduced on the site. Then lastly, the Von Scheele site works well. It's low cost to develop, but comes with some very, very big compromises in response times. And so those are the three. Our next meeting, March 25th, hoping to make a recommendation to the council from the steering committee on a preferred site. Following that, we would enter into a probably an expanded scope of work with ECI to due diligence on the site and also look at environmental site assessment and then test our budget numbers against that site to develop. And so that's kind of the plan moving forward. Any questions?
Go ahead, John.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. At our last meeting, guys, I saw the scoring matrix, so that was really good. But that one of the factors was the cost of development and maybe cost of acquisition and something like that. But there were no actual numbers, just a scoring chart. So I would hope maybe before we come to some sort of determination that we actually can see some actual numbers and what would it cost us to acquire this site across from GCI, for example. So we can actually, you know, maybe make better, more informed decisions and what would, you know, if the borough concedes this property here, you know, what would it cost to, what is our estimate to demolish and demo the rest of the building? So we can start to build some comparative cost factors into the various sites, because I think you mentioned every site has its challenges, and I think one of them is going to be acquisition and development cost right off the bat, and before you get to response times and everything else. So it'd be helpful to have more concise, precise information.
Great, thank you, Councilman Whitten. I think that would be a part of this due diligence, would be looking at environmental and then proving out the layout, concept design, and the budget numbers, the development costs. And if those numbers came back at, say, $5 million, obviously that would be a major hurdle, and the council would, at that point, have to decide to look at the other two sites or go back out to look at everything.
So, Josie, you mentioned about having a joint work session to discuss this with the borough and that, the land. I'm going to be meeting with Mayor Roberts later this week, and I'm going to bring that up one-on-one, and maybe we can come up with a strategy to do that. Okay, I've got that on my list. Anything else that you had or council members had on that? And that, those were good points, John, to bring that up, because those need to be figured in as well, the other costs. Terry?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Well, I mean, I guess it's how much weight we give to response time versus cost slash utility. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, that's going to be the tough thing. You know, if you really weight response time, then you kind of have to, maybe a little extra cost is okay. But I mean, if we're really looking at our budget mostly, and then I guess to do that, you have to say, well, how much difference does it really make for someone who needs the service, X amount of minutes response time? Mm-hmm. How much of a difference will it make to their life and death?
Pretty important, and maybe we could talk about those, you know, when we get these costs and we have the response time in front of us to weigh those priorities.
And John? I don't know if you were at the last meeting, I don't think you were at the town hall meeting, but one of the things that Brian, is it Brian from said he provided for us, which would be really, really helpful, he took each site of the eight sites, I think it was, and drew response times, so basically colored in response times, so we go from 1 minute out to 8 minutes, and it's a different coloration based on minute by minute by minute. But what we asked them to do would be to overlay the response time from Bayside, so you can see when there's an overlap, which actually I think would help in terms of sites. So if there was a, you know, if that wasn't an option, and you know, for response times, then you might want to shy away from something that's 8 minutes away from Trident Seafoods or, you know, the downtown seafood area. But if you have some overlapping coverage, you know, then you could maybe give you some different options on sites, because you do have that coverage, you know, that you don't, maybe we don't contemplate, especially, you know, if annexation is something that's still in the forefront, which I believe it is, then that overlapping coverage, I think, comes into bigger play.
Josie? Thank you. So that was an excellent recommendation, and it's an exercise that we went through that Brian, it was in the packet for the meeting at noon today, and I can get those to council, but we went the extra step to do that exercise, and I think the evidence is there in terms of, you know, the overlap and the best selection for.
You know, in the packet from the last meeting that I was out and couldn't attend, but I was looking at that, it was really hard for me to read some of that. And maybe at the meeting, the last meeting, Brian went through that. I mean, looking at the paper, I couldn't read it very well. Anyway, you have a slideshow that might be helpful at the next meeting, or you can just verbally explain it to me on my own. Anything else on that note? So we're moving forward, and that's a good thing. So I'll just lay this before Bill and see what kind of strategy we can come up with. Okay, runoff park improvement updates.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This project was opened on July 1st, 2019 with $100,000. The project is on our CIP and the number one priority for the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. To move the project forward, we requested a fee proposal from ECI Alaska, the same firm working on the fire station and the pre-design phase. So we asked them to produce a proposal for a solid scope of work, a detailed cost estimate, and then marketing images to support grant applications. And that's in your packet for Thursday night for consideration. And that was the update. If there were any questions in advance, I think it's pretty straightforward in the agenda summary and the proposal.
Okay, then we had three requests from the group tonight that we can follow up with. I'm assuming that internally the administration can do as well, right?
Yes.
With their suggestions, and we talked today a little bit about that. Any questions about that or comments, John?
The only question I have, and just to kind of, because we can't engage during public comment, but I did have a question on the $250,000 that was requested, and you know, I can't say if I support or don't support it, because I just really don't know what the budget looks like. So I think it would be helpful to know if that's something that we can legitimately fund, you know, without draining general fund, or exactly, but it would be nice to know, well, what level can we fund based on availability funds.
And I talked to Josie today about that as well. So we got those three requests. We can look at the administration for coming back with how that might be able to work.
Okay.
And just one final comment about the fee proposal, and I know we'll go through it on the agenda, reviewing the agenda, but most capital projects to get to 35% schematic design is typically like 3-5% of the total project cost. Mm-hmm. And when we evaluated this next to the wastewater treatment plant UV disinfection facility, that to get that project to 35% design was at 4%, and this fee proposal for consideration on Thursday is at 3%. So we're in line budget-wise with, you know, with other projects that we're building. So
is that 3%? I'm sorry, is that 3% based on 3.1?
Correct.
Okay.
One of the things that in being in Juneau last week for AML is that we met with Senator Von Imhoff's staff, Shireen, I think that's her name. And one of the things that the senator, who's co-chair of the Senate Finance Committee, is pretty adamant about is having a $300 million capital budget. So we're going to advocate for that. And I'm going to advocate. I would hope that the council would advocate for that as well, and the borough as well. So we'll see where that goes, because as we know how these capital projects go, they're going to have some big projects and some little projects. So we'll see where that goes. But she was very adamant about it, and speaking to the AML group as well as her staff meeting with us with one-on-one.
So that would be 300 divided by 20. So Senator Stevens' district would get
maybe
a fraction of that.
Yeah.
That's typically how we do it.
Yeah. Charlie, do you have your hand up?
I just, thank you, Madam Mayor. I just was wondering if she had also implied how she thought she could they could come up with the $300 million. Was that a bond issue?
Well, that was also spoken about as well. And she had a four-point plan. The governor didn't have a four-point plan. I asked for that, but he didn't have one. So, but she had a four-point plan, as well as Senator Michicki, on how they would come up with balancing the budget. Of course, both of them had a lower PFD, and the governor came out the next day with a supplemental of over $300 million for the full PFD. So she sounded pretty reasonable to me, and her request, she also spoke about the bond issue as well. That would be mainly infrastructure.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else, Josie? Anybody else have anything on that note? Okay, so Corey, did you have any? Okay, so we'll move ahead with those three requests and expect follow-up from administration. Then we'll go to the marijuana edibles. Josie, you have anything on that?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I do not have anything on that.
I know there was discussion at the last meeting, and we have that before us with the first reading on Thursday night. Any comments on that at this point or in the packet? Lots of responses from the community, and we'll have a second reading on that as well and public hearing. Okay, nothing on that. All right, then we're going to the Public Library Energy Efficiency Project update.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We reported back in November of 19 that the city manager's office was working with RSA Engineering to survey the existing mechanical and electrical systems both at the library and the police the police department, to also monitor power quality issues and to provide council and manager a final condition survey report with recommendations for upgrades along with rough order magnitude costs for upgrade options. And we should expect to see the first draft of that report by the end of this week. By the end of this month, which
so it's
is
the library and KPD.
Yes. Oh. Yes. And so we'll be reviewing those and update you as we learn more, and probably provide you a copy of the report at your request. But the issue with the library is, in the discussions we've had with Councilman Whitten, the facility has an electric boiler, and we've experienced problems with the automated controls, which was one of the reasons which led us to do this more thorough mechanical electrical investigation. Mm-hmm. And I know that KEA has a program where they provide a reduced rate for excess power. But really, until we can address our boiler operation, we don't know that it's cost effective to participate at this time until we get to the bottom of that issue. When we originally fired up the electrical boiler, I don't know the exact date, Glenn might know that, but when we switched over to electric, our bill went up to $5,500 a month for electric, and the oil-fired boiler that we have or are using right now was half the cost. So really, it's a control issue. We need to get to the bottom of it, and once we do that, I think we'd be able to participate in that program.
So the KEA, this is the same program they've done with the schools, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Any questions? John, do you have something?
Well, just to maybe follow up information on that, is that I talked to a couple of Darren Scott and a couple of KA board members, and the opportunity actually is the excess capacity that they're creating at KA, and you know, with excess capacity, they're willing to sell at a contracted discount. So if it makes sense for us to, you know, based on mechanical issues we had before, if it makes sense for us, you know, there's the potential to take advantage of the excess capacity at a discounted rate. And it plays into a different, a secondary part too. Is one is it would hopefully reduce our operating costs, but secondly, I think I give Mike the credit for this, is sort of a move to more of a green city code, you know, city government with electrical vehicles and electric heat, which is all produced through renewable energy. And I think that starts to change the narrative about city administration and the city of Kodiak as a whole. So it's something we can start to market and position ourselves on in a way that we've never done before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good idea. Go ahead.
Just internal conversations we've had too with the city engineer is a energy efficiency lighting project in the library, and maybe even extending that to the PDM. I don't know if you guys are all LED right now or not, but So that would be another area that we could explore mm-hmm. And bring back to council for consideration for next year's budget.
Mm-hmm. Good idea. Anything else on that note? Okay, then we'll go to fisheries update. Is that from you, John?
Well, it is in an abbreviated form, so.
Oh, I'm sorry, Terry.
I'm sorry, Madam Mayor. Could I request a short break?
Yes, you can request a short break to go do your ID. We'll be right back with John's report. Okay, John, are you going to give the fisheries report?
Well, just a really,
please?
Really quick update. I printed this out for everybody. It's a full fish notes. It's put out weekly by Dan Juno. There's all kinds of things in there. So rather go through them, all of them. I'll pick out a couple high points. One is it references the reduction of halibut IQ quota. This can have a huge impact on us.
Which page is that?
Oh,
I see it.
Maybe page 2 or 3. And then also, there's a big concern on, and it's in here somewhere, but it doesn't go into a lot of detail, a big concern on the reduction of available fishing days for sport charter fishermen. So mm-hmm. there's no halibut Tuesdays and Wednesdays mm-hmm. in area 3A. So that means that charter boat fishermen just
Number
simply
11.
Cannot catch halibut on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. They've also reduced the size of the fish. It used to be 28 inches was small and down to 25 inches. So the real, and I talked to Amy Williams about this just last week, but the real concern is what does that do to our tourism industry? How does that impact us? And they actually are seeing some reductions in bookings. I know Chris Fiala is pretty concerned about it, but I just wanted to point out to you is that it's not just a reduction of halibut sport charter IFQ, it's the overall tourism industry. What does that mean for us? I don't have any answers right now. I just wanted to point it out as a potential issue. One of the things, pollock just closed this weekend, so the pollock season 2630 is closed. Some of the guys are out there doing flats right now, so they'll be doing flat fish, but they did close. And the only other thing that I wanted to mention, especially since Terry's there, is that we have not had a fisheries work group meeting in January and February, and it's actually the borough's turn to chair the meeting, but I have had no contact with anybody from the borough. So my preference is to just go ahead and move ahead, and we'll just do our own thing, with or without them. And there's probably quorum issues in terms of the resolution, but you know, I still firmly believe that the fisheries work group brings value when we do it correctly. And you know, I can't speak to why there's no interest, perceived lack of interest from the borough. I've actually tried to contact them and had no feedback.
You have tried to contact them.
Yeah, and I would just say we just need to move ahead and just keep pressing ahead with fisheries work group.
My meeting. Can't find it. Oh, too many
questions. I will bring that up with Bill Roberts this week as well. Yeah. Ask him that question.
It might just be that neither there's two people on this side, on the borough side, but neither one of them, as far as I know, is a co-chair. So maybe nobody's in charge. Maybe they're expecting us to take the lead. But it's never been done that way. It's always been a collaborative thing in the borough
right.
and city. And
right.
stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, frankly, for us. 6 months or so, the city's been driving it, and I think we just need to figure out what they want out of it. Any different thoughts?
No, I agree with all that. I think the group has great value,
mm-hmm.
and maybe we should officially, at the next joint work session, maybe discuss their comfortable level of participation, you know, whether they would rather pursue their fishery interest in a different way, or they could attend our meetings. In other words, I guess what I'm saying is, I think it would be okay for the city just to take this over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's our major infrastructure that's most critically, in play there. And, we have the boat harbors and they have their fish taps, but other than that, you can see why maybe their concerns lie elsewhere where they have other things to worry about.
Well, it's worked pretty well in the past. John, when did you contact the borough representatives on the fisheries work group? How long ago was it?
January.
Okay. All right.
Well, and that was just to postpone the January meeting because we couldn't agree on a time. And then nothing happened in February, and now we're into March. And so it won't be till
I did check with Julie Bonney from AGDB, but she's not available until mid-March, so I wouldn't be any earlier than like the 20th of March, whatever day of Wednesday is.
Terry?
They might, if we sort of approach them with this, it might be enough to spur them into saying, oh, we're very interested and let's go, you know, at the regular thing. If not, if we do restructure it, we can also always have, you know, a seat for them. Even if it's a non-voting seat or whatever, and they might be more comfortable sending one person. That seems like it's always been easier for them to find that one person, and that second seat has always been a little bit more struggle. And another thing what John, that John mentioned was about the apparent pivot of the state toward sports fishermen interests. Fish and Game Commissioner has a video out right now that you can all look at, and he very, very plainly says that that's his priority. It's to get sport fish into the freezers and coolers of every Alaska.
Well, that seems to be the priority with the Board of Fish as well.
Right. I think he's well expressing the governor, and the governor was able to replace so many members in a very short time that he was able to, you know, really change the political composition of that group. But I think for the city, I think we need to be aware of the fact that we kind of need to continue to push our narrative. The Salmon Work Group did some great stuff, and they really kind of made a story for us. I think that's worth bringing to the legislature, and you know, as we start to, you know, do our outreach, I think we always need to tell that story of a family-based fishery that's well run, and it's sustainable, and it provides value for all of America, you know, as well as economic value. You know, I think we don't want to say bad things about sport fishermen, but I think it's up to us, I think, to continue to tell that story.
John, anything else?
No, I just agree with what Terry said. I think it's really important, maybe even more. The Fisheries Work Group has just evolved over the time, over the last 9 years doing this. It constantly evolves as the fisheries and the policies and the politics evolve, so I think it's important to stay with it. And there's lots going on in the fisheries right now that, you know, if you're not really engaged, you probably don't see. There's a reference to an article in here about how King Cove is going to really struggle because the icicle plant is not processing fish to the same level it used to be, and there folks are moving over to False Pass and delivering into Silver Bay. You know, most people know that Silver Bay bought ISA here in town, so it's a new processor here in town that's going to operate much, much differently than previous processors. And I think the ownership of probably some of our processors, you know, is being looked at by different investors. So I think there's lots going on in our community. So I think it's really important that we stay engaged and as much as possible, just to bring information back to you and also to staff. Not just to the council, but to staff. I think it's important to have that flow of information. And then the last part is, when we go to DC, or when we go to, not so much going to Juneau, when we go to our legislature, but certainly when we go to DC, it's really good to be knowledgeable on what the current issues are. So I think there's lots of reasons to keep doing it. And I completely agree with Terry, is if we do it by ourselves, and that I'd probably be more comfortable doing that because easy.
Okay, I'll bring it up with the mayor of the borough too and see where he is on that. And if there isn't a co-chair, then, you know, what's his intent? And to keep the group going. We have one more outreach, and after that, we'll go from there. And maybe we just need to restructure after that. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Manager's report, clerk's report. Did you have anything, Nova or Josie?
Did you have anything? Okay. Council members, Sweden and Haynes will be traveling next week to Swansea. And then Council member Haynes is also attending the NLC annual conference. Part of the expense for the NLC travel will be covered by AML. Mm-hmm. And then also on the budget, we also have DC lobbying trips in May, and we probably would know more sometime in the near future.
We should, from Brad, and we have some dates, I think, penciled in, May 4th, 5th, something like that. We can check with him.
Okay, and I will bring it up at the next work session. Just a reminder that you have a picture taking at 6 p.m.
Oh, yeah.
On Thursday in the city conference room. Okay, and then to end my comments, Annika received a $1,500 scholarship. It was announced today, so she applied for a scholarship for professional development training in Tacoma in June, and she received it. So,
and from where?
From AEMC, Alaska.
Wonderful.
Association.
That's great news. Good.
Just a quick comment on the DC trip, and I think Josie kind of spurred me into thinking this, but you know, when we typically see the same people. I think we've talked about this. Typically see the same people, and besides the senators and the, I think actually Congressman Young would be available, but we see the same people, hear the same things, and as well, it's good to be there and have face time. I mean, the issues are changing, and I think things like the Arctic support, and how does Kodiak position in terms of developing infrastructure for Arctic support, I think is really becoming more and more apparent. So when we go to the Coast Guard, for example, you know, they tell us how many houses they're going to build and how many FRCs and OPCs and how many personnel, which is wonderful, and $38 million and this and that. But I think I'd like to see us change the narrative with Brad's help and say, what other things can we do to position Kodiak, you know, from the developmental perspective, you know, whether it's infrastructure or whether it's policy, or what is it can we do to enhance Kodiak's position as the Coast Guard and just the DOD start to move more people and resources into the Arctic, and what role can and should we be playing? So, I mean, those type of conversations I'd like to see us have more high level versus just the nuts and bolts, boats and people discussions.
So one of the things that we talked with Admiral Bell about when we were in Juneau was just that, and we're waiting to get some white paper back from him. And just on that same note, I'm going to Juneau. I did send thank you notes to legislators that we met with, and Admiral Bell and the commissioner as well. Hopefully they'll read my handwriting. So, Terry?
Thank you, Madam. One thing that Senator Murkowski did mention in her comments, actually asked her the question, was she mentioned the transportation bill that's coming out. And she said that there might be some flexibility, is what she was the way she described it, in using some of the money for the marine highway, for one thing. And I asked her also about ports and harbors, and she did say that was worth investigating. But she definitely did put a number one priority on our possibly finding a way to steer some highway bill money into the marine highway. So I think that definitely is got to be worth it, since she did mention it.
Yeah, both of those. We
can help
make
her
notes of that.
By
yeah.
Advocating on our side.
Okay.
Yeah,
John?
Thank you. That reminds me, too, when we met with Admiral Bell, we also talked about, you know, what opportunities are there for the shipyard and the Coast Guard, especially when they need that. And we couldn't lift an OPC, but we could potentially lift an FRC, you know, the fast response cutters. We could lift one of those. So are there some opportunities for us to do more heavy boat work so we can further develop the yard? And I certainly would want to support developing that yard so that we can have the follow-on economic impact of that. So he seemed to be more than willing to help with that.
Yeah, it was a good conversation with him. Charlie?
Yeah, thank you, Matt. I was just wondering if any of you have discussed the Russian sea products coming into this country without tariffs, why we are being tariffed heavily with our products going into them. Why would that disparity exist right now? Does anybody know?
No.
I mean, it's in the millions of dollars that Russian seafood products are coming into this country, from what I read from one of our articles. And I was just wondering if somebody might have touched on that subject matter.
Not in Juneau, they didn't.
Because it just seems illogical to...
You might contact the congressional delegation and ask them that question.
Yeah.
Terry?
Thank you. There is a new article, I didn't read it yet, but I saw that the headline was about how much are these tariffs have been hurting Alaskan fishermen. So I'm sure that that's been a big deal. I mean, that's kind of a wet blanket on that allows the Russians to move in.
Okay, anything else on that note? Okay, let's go to the packet then for Thursday.
Oh, I had a couple.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, on the agenda, under manager's report, I just, two things. For one, the wastewater treatment plant UV disinfection facility bid is out on the street, mm-hmm. and we have a mandatory pre-bid conference on Thursday here in Kodiak, and so looking at the plan holders list, it looks like we have a lot of qualified contractors that have shown interest in the project, so good news there. And then secondly, our tsunami siren RFP is advertised with a borough as an added alternative. So we were able to capture their project, but still keep it two separate projects. And we're having a mandatory pre-bid conference on March 12th. So
we've got some responses, I understand, right?
Correct. Yes. Three, I think, on that general contractors on the plan holders list. And then just the comment about support versus Homeland Security, Coast Guard versus DOD. In this fisheries report that Councilman Whitten provided, there is the U.S. Navy, Department of Defense, U.S. Navy is seeking comments on their training exercises mm-hmm. in the Gulf of Alaska. And I think one way to show support, we saw the Comstock here last year. They had a big financial impact, sales tax revenue-wise in the community. Yeah. And I think just even starting there with support, I don't know how controversial that would be, but support for coming to Kodiak and supporting the local economy. Comments along those lines, we'd be happy to.
Yeah,
happy
that's
to
a good
draft.
Idea. The other thing, and when we were in Juneau, is that Brittany, who's on the Fairbanks staff, mm-hmm. and she brought up, and I know that you remember the correct name of that last fall, that conference that they had in Fairbanks, the military conference that they had, remember? And so she's going to send us information because she's looking for someone from Kodiak to serve on that steering committee. And I thought of you.
Good.
Yeah, so she'll be getting a hold of you.
Arctic, yeah.
Yeah, the Arctic stuff. Okay, anything else? We can go to the packet then. Okay, so we have the first reading of the ordinance, and this is adopting the Alaska Remote Sellers Sales Tax Code. So lots of information in the packet about this. Josie?
Thank you. I don't really have any comments on this. I know we've discussed this probably 10 times in the past 10 work sessions,
yeah.
and all the information that's been included, very comprehensive, so thanks to NOVA for that. But everything's also available on AML's website under the Remote Sales Tax Commission. Mm-hmm. So if there are any questions,
this
is just first reading.
Yeah. AML on that Nils gave a good report. It is a big deal, though.
Yeah.
A lot of work that's been done, it's incredible. It was discussed at the board meeting as well, AML board meeting. Any questions or comments on that? Okay. Then we go to the first reading, and this is about the edibles, I believe, on page 60. And this is the first reading. Josie, did you have anything on that?
No, Madam Mayor, I did not. This is first reading. We did do an agenda summary. I left the comments to the city manager's discretion for public hearing, second reading.
Right. Okay. Nova?
Yes, Madam Mayor. Both of the ordinance, just to note for the record, were drafted by the attorney. So
right.
they were vetted through the
yeah.
city attorney, just so you know.
Good, good point.
Thank you.
Anything else on that note? Okay, then we go to the resolution for the budget goals for 64 that are the result of our meeting. I thought these were laid out really well. Josie, did you have any comments on that?
Thank you, Mayor. I think just pointed out that there were only a few changes made based on our January 25th work session with the manager relative to economic development mm-hmm. and some language changes regarding the shipyard. And so those changes were made, as well as a one-page kind of snapshot with some of the strategic priorities that we discussed. I kind of reorganized some of the areas, the priorities. We added some based on the last strategic plan that the council did. So we've added projects to it, just kind of as a snapshot to look at throughout the year.
This is good, the strategic priority page, one page. That's done, well done. Okay, any comments on that? Okay, and then we go to a light rescue vehicle purchase for the fire department.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As you may have seen, this was advertised for 30 days. We received one proposal from Braun Northwest, kind of the premier contractor to build these type of vehicles. And we feel really great about the price that we got, and the quality of their proposal was something we highly recommend to the council for approval. It's in the budget. It's been approved. Just need to authorize the agreement.
Okay. Any comments on that? All right. And then we have the payment for Highmark Marine Fabrication with lots of invoices.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. In the agenda summary, it just kind of outlines the city manager's spending authority. Originally, when the technical services agreement with Highmark was approved, we had anticipated a much, a lower rate. It exceeded the city manager's approval. So this is kind of going back, doing some housekeeping and getting council to sign on for the remaining amount. I think it's $51,000. I didn't add up all the invoices.
There's a total there.
Yes. In the attachment. 51,762.
Okay. Any comments on that? Okay. And then the last item is the ECI agreement on the Verona Park.
Right. So as I mentioned earlier, this price is in line with other capital projects that the city's constructing. Will get us to schematic design, through schematic design, and get us some great visual aids for potential fundraising efforts and just move this project along. I mean, you know, in October 19, I think, you know, bringing on ECI as an architect for the fire station has really been a very cost-effective thing to build synergy with other city projects. This one just happens to be at a higher rate of speed moving forward. So I know Corey is really happy about that.
One of the things, you know, I don't want to lose track of this, so in the request that came forward tonight from the group, I'd like to keep that on the work session agenda so we can get reports back from the administration as to where we are with that request and the MOU as well. Mm-hmm. If the council's agreement with that, we just won't lose track of things then. Any comments on this contract? Charlie?
I just wanted to add that the sooner that we could supply this group with this money that they would have to match these larger donors, that probably the sooner that the monies would be available to do that project at the Fairmont Park.
Right, that's what happens, and I think that's what Jason was describing. Once you get that MOU and then the lift up with some money, it always is a trigger for possible donors and grants. Okay, anything else? Anybody have anything else tonight? Is that it? Maybe it stopped snowing.
It did.
Did it, Terry? Yeah.
Who knows, only for 10
minutes. And you have time to go back to your volunteer efforts at the radio station. Do your
I'm there now.
Okay. The ghost of Terry Haynes. Okay, thank you all, and we will
We will see you on Thursday at 6 p.m.
6 p.m.
You may have to send her out a reminder.
I think that you probably will.
Yes.